Chapter 16. Caught at Last. 2 or 3 days passed, and the natural cheerfulness of the French temperament reasserted itself. But still they missed Louis daily, hourly, missed him in every way, though no one would have owned that they got on with their journey more quickly now that they had left Louis behind. Leonore was a great help to them all. Her mischief was almost entirely laid aside, and she seemed to have suddenly become far more womanly, but her high spirits kept them cheerful in spite of themselves, and they often said to each other how fortunate it was that they had met with her. It was midday, and they were coming into a little town such as they frequently passed through now. They intended merely to make a few purchases and then to go some way on the other side of the town before dining, as they had not walked very far that morning. Generally, they went as quickly and quietly as possible through anything like a town. But from habit, they were getting a little careless about keeping out of the way, and seeing a crowd round a fussy little man who was haranguing loudly on the steps of a large building, curiosity made them linger to hear what was the matter. He had a table in front of him, and one person after another came up, it seemed, for the purpose of signing something that lay upon it. Before they did so, however, he recited to them in a loud voice the subject of the paper, and as the reciting took up at least 3 minutes, and the signing, or rather marking, for there was scarce one in all that assembly who could write, scarcely one, the effect was as of a continued discourse. The 4 children got entangled in the crowd before that they were aware, as they came nearer in the hope of catching what was said. Leonora was first, closely followed by Henry. Galoom and Marie got separated from them a little way. Indeed, Marie did not quite see what they were doing. She was busy in a mental calculation of the money in her purse after their recent purchases, and did not notice particularly what was going on around her. It flashed upon Henry as he came near enough to hear that this was some oath the people were taking, probably one of which he heard several people speak of late, an oath of obedience to the king and pope, and a declaration of faith in the Roman Catholic religion according to them. In a moment he saw how heedless they had been, and with a hasty whisper to Leonore he tried to draw her away. But he was too late. The man had seen him, and leaning forward called to him to come up and sign the paper. Henry still tried to withdraw, but this only excited suspicion. 2 or 3 hands were stretched out to prevent him, and the man repeated his demand. He paused for an instant to reflect upon his answer, and in that moment Leonore pressed forward to the table. "What would you do with my idiot page, sir?" she asked, and with a resumption of her old haughty manner. The man was evidently surprised, and then, with a true French shrug of the shoulders, handed the pen to Leonore. "No, Madame Sewell," he answered, "this is no oath for idiots, but for all who love God and the king, whether noble or simple. Madame Sewell is doubtless able to read the paper and to sign her own name. My orders are that all in this town shall sign it before the night has passed." "Read it to me," said Leonore, feigning not to understand. Such ignorance was often found then, even among the upper classes. The little man, nothing loath, took up the paper again and read it through. It was just such an oath as Henry had feared, one that no true Protestant could subscribe to with a clear conscience. Leonore listened with the utmost gravity to the end and then bowed low. "One's ignorance becomes a pleasure when one hears Monsieur read," she remarked with great politeness. "Yes, I quite understand. I am much obliged to Monsieur." She bowed again and made a movement to withdraw, with such calm assurance that the little man stared and had almost suffered her to go. With a sudden resolve, however, he signed to those around to prevent her, while he said, "Pardon me, but Mademoiselle has not taken the oath." "Comment," exclaimed Leonora with well-acted surprise. "I have heard Monsieur read it." "Yes, yes, but that is not all. Mademoiselle must have the goodness to lay her hand on this book here and repeat those words after me." And he ran off a short formula of unconditional acceptance. Leonora remained silent. "Comment. Mademoiselle does not mean that she refuses to take the oath." There was an instant's pause, and then Leonore answered boldly, "Yes, I do refuse it." The crowd moved with eager expectation. All eyes were turned toward Leonore. She meanwhile was quivering with anxiety to know whether Henry had obeyed her imperious gesture and withdrawn with his brother and sister, but she would not look round for fear of drawing attention to them. "Take her away," commanded the little man at length. He was new to this sort of work, and having been appointed to a very loyal district, had never met with resistance before. "Take her, and her idiot page also. Let them be carefully guarded in the Bureau until tomorrow, when they will return with me to Marmandy and to go before the officers there." Thus Leonore knew that Henry was still behind her, and they were marched off without being able to exchange a word. But both noticed that Guillaume and Marie had disappeared. On seeing that Leonore was in for it, Henry had turned to look for Guillaume and Marie, and had been able to sign unperceived to the former. Guillaume took in the state of affairs at a glance and acted promptly. "Where's Henry?" Marie had asked, as she looked up at length. "On there," said Guillaume, leading her in quite a different direction. "Let us make haste, we must catch up to them." He hurried on down the street for some way, and then turned side into a narrow byway before she exclaimed, "Guillaume, you must be wrong. There is no sign of Henry or Leonore. Let us go back and look for them." "I will go," said Guillaume hurriedly. "They must be close behind at any rate. Wait here for me, please, Marie, or we shall all be losing each other." He ran off without giving her time to remonstrate and made his way as quickly and cautiously as possible to the spot he had just left. His worst fears were confirmed. Henry and Leonore were being led away as prisoners. He mingled with the crowd which pressed round them, taking care not to excite suspicion by his looks. For one instant he managed to get close to Henry and felt something pressed into his hands, though Henry's head was turned away. It was the packet of papers and money. Guillaume thrust it into his bosom and followed the crowd for a few steps further, till they came to a small official building, whether a prison or merely a justice court he could not make out, as only the prisoners and a couple of gendarmes, who had acted as their guard, were allowed to enter. Guillaume waited till the door had actually shut upon them, and then, slipping aside, ran as soon and as fast as he dared to Marie. She was waiting for them in considerable anxiety. "Oh, Guillaume," she exclaimed, "I thought you would never come, and I should have gone after you, only I feared we should miss one another. But why are you alone? Where have you left Henry and Leonore?" "They are taken," said Guillaume abruptly, as he leaned against the wall and covered his face in his hands. She scarcely understood. "Taken," she repeated, and then, as the truth dawned upon her, she cried, "Guillaume, Guillaume, you do not mean that they have been arrested?" He did not answer. She leaned back, also overcome. The blow was so sudden, and after such a long time of safety, so unexpected. "How was it?" she asked at length. "I saw nothing. Was it that man who was calling out on the steps?" Guillaume nodded. "And where are they taken? Oh, Guillaume, did you find out?" "I do not know what the place is, but I saw them go in. We must wait now. We can do nothing till the streets are quieter, and then I will show you the place." They went outside the town into some fields and tried to eat some food, but it was almost impossible. They wandered restlessly up and down and at length went back into the town again.